Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for your welcome. Greetings from the south of Renfrewshire. I come from Johnston, so it's good to be here and to share some things with you. But let me start off with asking you, have you been offended this week? It's quite common now, isn't it, for people to be offended and to feel offended. You know, someone said something to you that's been hurtful, something you consider to be wrong. Maybe it's been someone who's close to you, and that can feel, you feel that emotion on your chest. Sometimes it can take your breath away when someone offends you. But the power of offence is really strong. You know, I was offended this week by someone on the other side of the Atlantic. Lots of people were. You know, it shows you the power of offence. But recently, I was offended by an episode in Jesus' life. Initially offended by what Jesus said and what his followers said. And it really hit me. And I had to look at it and try and see what's behind this. But slowly I came to realise that Jesus was working through these same offences to help us see the hope that we can have in him. We're going to read a story about a lady who was faced with offence but allowed it to strengthen her hope in Jesus. And it's been recorded in the Bible for all of us to be inspired by her. You see, you might be aware that the gospel, God's good news to us, is an offence because it tells us we're not enough. It tells us we're all sinners. It tells us that we all fall short of God's standard and we all deserve punishment. And it tells us the only way we can be part of God's family is through Jesus, through his perfection, through his perfectness. And that's how we can become part of God's family. So it's an offence to our any sense of self-worth that we have, any sense of our own goodness, any sense of our better than someone else. But it can bring us into a wonderful hope. So I want us to think about from offence into hope in Jesus. So let's see what happened in this story. Maybe you know the story already. Maybe you're already thinking about it. It's when Jesus met the Canaanite woman. And it's actually recorded by two of Jesus' followers, by both Matthew and Mark in their record in their Gospels. But I'm reading through Matthew just now, through January. So if you want to turn with me, if you've got a Bible, to Matthew chapter 15. And it's verse 21. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV. You follow with me. This is God's word. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That's God's word. Let me just pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this insight into the life of our Lord Jesus on earth. And for this meeting with this lady, Lord, help us to have open hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this story, this episode in Jesus' life, it starts off maybe as many stories do in the Bible. Jesus travelled to a place and he's going to meet someone. But first of all, did you see it says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, the writing is rather small on the map. Can you see where Tyre is? Up there? Seaside town. There's the capital. Down here. Where is it? I can't see it myself. Jerusalem. Down here. And Jesus has been round the Sea of Galilee. Up here. So this is where all the people have been. This is where the crowds are. But did you see that? It says Jesus withdrew. Jesus withdrew. Mark actually records that Jesus tried to make himself less obvious by going into a house when he got to Tyre. Are you offended by that? Why is Jesus withdrawing from the crowd? Why is he going up to some obscure area? Why is he going out right out to this edge, this border town, this dangerous area? Why is he doing that? I wonder if that offends our sense of fairness. There's lots of people down in Jerusalem. Lots of people around the Sea of Galilee who've heard him and want to hear more of him. But yet, there was one person. There was one. One person who heard that Jesus had arrived, and she went to see him. She was a Canaanite woman, so she's not a Jew, not of the favoured race, not the people that Jesus has been dealing with mostly. In fact, she's right in this border country, so it's up in the, where Lebanon is now, and even now there's still trouble in that region of the world. And back then it was dangerous as well, because it was always contested between Syria to the north and Israel to the south. So it wouldn't have been very safe for this woman to make her way from her home to Tyre in order to see Jesus. It wouldn't have been safe for this woman to be travelling herself, not least the fact that she was of a different country. And Mark actually tells us that she was a Syro-Phoenician lady, so she was actually of a mixed heritage. So I'm sure she was looked down on by both of those cultures. You know, so every which way she turned, she was an outsider. But Jesus came, and she came to meet him. You see, the hope that's in Jesus is a hope that's open to the outsider. I don't know, do you feel like an outsider? You can be in a crowd and still feel like an outsider, can't you? You ever been in that situation? You feel like you don't fit in? You feel like nobody's noticing you? No one really knows you? Well, Jesus came to that place, and there was one, an outsider, that lady who wanted to come and see him and made every effort to come and see him, and nothing was going to stop her from coming to see him, regardless of the discrimination, regardless of being looked down on, regardless of the danger that she faced, this one person. Not only can we feel like an outsider in company, in crowds, in groups of people, we can also feel an outsider with God, feel that distance to God who made us. Maybe you've never come close to God before. Maybe you don't know God in a personal way. You've never made that statement of being a Christian, of trusting Jesus, of asking him to take your sins away. You've never done that before. Or maybe you've been a Christian for many years. I know many here have. But maybe there's that wee bit of distance that's started to be created. Maybe there's other things that are starting to crowd in. Maybe there's certain habits that are starting to ensnare you. Maybe there's just some discouragement, some coldness in your heart. Jesus is in your vicinity, and he invites you to come. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I've heard that for 50 years, but it's still an invitation from Jesus. Is there distance, Graham, between me and you? Come. Are there burdens that you're starting to take on yourself? Come. Give them to me. And know my rest. Know my rest. A hope that's open to the outsider. But that was only the first offence I had when I was reading this passage. Do you remember what happens next? So the ladies come to Jesus. And she said, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." And the start of verse 23 says what? Jesus did not answer a word. Jesus did not answer a word. And Mark says, it says in his record of this episode, she kept on asking Jesus. She kept on asking Jesus. She kept on asking Jesus. And Jesus did not answer a word. Her wee girl's sick. And Jesus did not answer a word. Does that feel wrong? Do you feel that emotion? Jesus did not answer a word. Many of you know your Bibles, don't you? Memory verses. Did anyone learn this as a memory verse? No. It's not something that we treasure. Jesus did not answer a word. But as I thought about this, it made me realise that hope, this hope that this lady had, is a hope that sustains through seasons of silence. And Jesus knew it. Jesus knew that. That she had a hope that sustains through seasons of silence. This isn't a good time hope that she has in Jesus. This isn't a hope that's only about when the blessings come. My hope's in Jesus. When things are good, my hope's in Jesus. When I'm being blessed and blessed and blessed, my hope's in Jesus. No, even if Jesus is silent, she's still there. She's still waiting. She's still looking for Jesus to make a difference in her life. You know, silence doesn't mean we're not being heard by God. Has anyone prayed for something and you haven't had an answer? This lady, she's been asking Jesus for help, and Jesus did not answer a word. But the hope that we have in Jesus is sufficient to sustain us through these periods of silence. There's a verse in Micah. Micah lived at a time when the people of Israel were under attack. was in the 8th century BC, attacked by this country to the north, the Assyrians. Really, really a hard time. The country was about to fall. And this is what Micah said, Micah 7 verse 7. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Saviour. My God will hear me. That's a special verse for me. The verse that God gave me through the pandemic. And I've still got it written in an old cardboard box up in my wall in my office to remind me. In those seasons of silence, still wait. Still wait. Because our hope in God can sustain us through silence. So I was offended by that. Silence after a plea for help. But then there's even more. Did you see that as we read? What happens next? The rest of verse 23. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. It gets worse. Jesus' followers tell Jesus, get rid of her. Send her away. Are you offended by that? Have you ever been offended by other Christians? Have you ever offended other people as a Christian? We still have that in our life, that potential to offend each other. Jesus' disciples ask him to send her away. And more than that, Jesus actually follows up on their request. And he answers them. He's been silent to the lady, and he answers to them, and he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Maybe the people there thought that Jesus was just reinforcing the prejudice that these disciples were showing and trying to get this lady out of their hair, so to speak. But you know what? This lady rises to the challenge of the offense of the disciples. And the challenge of that response from Jesus, which was sharing what his primary mission was. He said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The gospel was sent first to Israel and then to the non-Jews. Then to us who are Gentiles. So first to the Jews, then the Gentiles. So that's true. But the lady, what does she do? She's still there. She's still there. You know, the hope that this lady had repels the distraction of discouragement. Repels the distraction of discouragement. She's been discouraged by the disciples. That primary mission that Jesus has, first to the Jews, she's not part of that. But she's still there. She's still there. And what does she do? It says in verse 25, the woman came, knelt before him, Lord, help me. Are you going through a season of discouragement? Are there things that you are being discouraged by? Discouraged by people? Discouraged by circumstances in life? Discouraged by the challenge of making ends meet? The discouragement of something else? Be like this lady. Three things she did. Three things. The woman came. What did she do? She'd already been to Jesus. What did she do? Moved closer to Jesus. She moved closer to Jesus. She didn't allow the crowd that day to be the focus of her attention. The disciples are there in that scene. They've just told Jesus, get rid of her. What does she do? Gets them out of her field of vision and gets her focus closer on Jesus. May we follow that example as well. When faced with discouragement, come closer to Jesus. What else did she do? Second thing, she kneels before Jesus. She's demonstrating that total submission. She's not going complaining. Look at these. What are these guys telling me to go away, Jesus? Look at them. She's not got that at all. She's kneeling in submission before Jesus. And the third one, Lord, help me. Despite what others are saying, my hope's still strong in you, Lord. My hope is still strong in you, and it's not going to be repelled by the discouragement, even of your followers. Let's follow her example. The psalmist in Psalm 42 also says, "Why am I discouraged?" This is the New Living Translation. "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." I will praise him again. Come closer to Jesus. Kneel before him in submission. And have faith and ask him for help. Out of offense, her hope shone through. There's one more. Even in these short 8 verses, one more. Here's what happens after that. Here's what Jesus said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." That feels a bit offensive, doesn't it? What Jesus is doing is he's drawing attention to this difference. He's drawing attention to the fact that, yes, she is an outsider. It's drawing drawing attention to that cultural difference that existed in that time. And she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." You know, this lady, she's not saying, "Jesus, I'm entitled to this. I was born into this. I deserve this. Through my upbringing, through my race, through the family I was born into." She's not saying that. She's not saying she deserves it. She's not saying, "Look, I've come all the way myself. Lord, I've come to you." She's not saying that at all. She's recognizing that she has no worth in herself, which makes us, modern society, we're uncomfortable by that. It feels offensive. She's maybe saying she's like the dogs that would sit at a master's table and eat the scraps off the floor. But what she's demonstrating is the hope she has in Jesus isn't based on entitlement, isn't based on what she deserves, but she recognizes she's unworthy in herself, but all of the worth is in Jesus. And that's why she's here asking him for help. That's why she's asking him to heal her daughter. And Jesus gracefully recognizes that. And two things he says, "Woman, you have great faith." Great faith. A faith that is in a hope that's open to the outsider, that can dispel discouragement, that is able to be sustained through those periods of silence, that is based on the premise that, "No, I'm not worthy, I don't deserve it, but all the worth is in you." And Jesus acknowledges, only two people in the Bible, Jesus acknowledges their faith as great faith. One of them, this lady. And secondly, "Your request is granted." And what does she do? She accepts that and goes home. She accepts the words of Jesus, and in truth, her daughter is restored. I wonder, will we be looking at this offence to our culture, our Western society view, and see that yes, they are offensive. Some of those statements are offensive, but Jesus is using this to demonstrate to us the great faith that this unknown lady had, and to inspire us to follow her example. There's others in this chapter who were also offended. In your own time, have a look at them. Verse 12 of this chapter. People are offended by Jesus, but that spawns hurt, hatred, self-pity, and ultimately a plot to get rid of Jesus. Let's follow this lady's example and put all of our hope in Jesus. Thank you very much for listening. If there's anything I've said that you'd like to talk to me more about or pray with me, then please do come and see me at the end or speak to someone that you trust. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for your goodness again. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this example in your Son, our Lord Jesus' life on earth, where he was able to allow that woman to demonstrate the faith that she had in you. Lord, help us in our individual circumstances. Yeah, help us, Father God, to respond in the way that you want, the way that you can, through the power of your Spirit. Help us to be strengthened in our faith, strengthened in our love for God, for you, Father God. And maybe some come to you for the first time, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.